Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Brock Huard is going to be on today's show, ESPN college football analyst and insider. Brock Huard will talk about Arizona State and U of A, Pac-12, the National View. I heard yesterday Kirk Herbstreit said ASU is going to be in the college football playoff into the Final Four. So is Brock going to go out on that limb as well? Is it really that much of a limb? The Cardinals game on Sunday against the Raiders, preseason game number 3. Goody at the Movies will be with us. Bill talked to Matt Damon this week. So, and I'm a big Matt Damon guy, so with the new Bourne coming out. He wants to talk about No Escape and Look of Silence. So Goody at the Movies, we do every Friday because you need to know what's going on in the movies. So I'll have Bill Goodykoontz with us. And there's a few other things that are on my mind. A big story that about Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez yesterday. The headline, College Sweethearts. Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez bring the golden age of college football to the state of Arizona. I think that's pretty good. One last week of this fake football. Well, actually, two more weeks of this fake football. But the real college stuff gets started in 6 days. We're excited about that. Let's get you caught up what is on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So yesterday, I get an email from Ann Pierce over at Santan Ford. We should have shown the video today. It's my bad. But Tim Hovick emceed the Arizona State Sun Devil kickoff lunch. And evidently, he told all these Wildcat jokes. And I got the video. So we'll have some fun with that probably next week. But, you know, Tim's a guy about town. It doesn't matter if it's the Diamondbacks or the Cardinals or Arizona State. Wherever there's a big sporting event, you're usually going to find Tim. And that's fine. Beyond that, he's selling and doing really well with the Ford brand right here in the Valley. You can shop online at santanford.com. He has a tremendous starting lineup. I'm a proud partner in that of people around the Valley that he's involved with, and you can be part of that lineup too. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford, where it's all about you. All right, so the Cardinal game is on Sunday. I am leading with fake football, but I do think it's an important game in this regard. There's three things I really want to see out of the Cardinals on Sunday. We're in a day and age of lists, and people throw lists out in Twitter and on their websites, and here's five things you need to know and all that stuff. It's fine. There's probably 100 things you need to know about some teams that aren't any good. Fortunately, we have a good football team here this year on the professional level, as well as the college level too. Two good football teams. And actually, NAU and Arizona Christian are going to be good, too. So we have four really good college teams. But in terms of the Cardinals, it's the Raiders. I'm looking forward to seeing Carr. I'm looking forward to seeing Cooper. I'm looking forward to seeing some pretty good offense. I think the Raiders are going to be better than what most believe the Raiders have been through the years. Are the Cardinals, on their side of the football, going to be able to do offensively, run the game, run the football? They ran better last week. I'm still not convinced that they have a tremendous running game. Are they going to have better protection of Carson Palmer? We've talked ad nauseum about four different faces on the front of the offensive line. And when you start saying, well, we need to see what happens with a third string quarterback, that's just another way of saying, please watch our game so we have a good rating in the fourth quarter. I don't care. I mean, just really, if Carson Palmer is not healthy for this team, then for the most part, it's a lost season. That's just how it's going to be. But nonetheless, there's some things that are worth my time to watch on Sunday night. And I'm sure for you, too, as you go through your busy weekend, by the time you get to Sunday night at 5, you can either be at 60 minutes and it's a rerun, or you could be over watching preseason fake football. And I'll probably be watching some preseason fake football. U of A is in the news today. I like this story on the college front. And Brock's going to be with us here in about 10 minutes. So I'm going to save the Russell Wilson story, Eric, for Brock, because that's just too good. Nike and U of A have their deal going. They signed a 10-year extension back in March. And it's always the details of these types of stories that get me excited. You know, when ASU did their Adidas thing earlier this summer and they launched the Adidas uniforms, Sun Devil fans were all excited. When Nike did their thing with U of A back in the spring, U of A fans were all excited. We're a Nike school. We're an Adidas school. Well, Nike's cooler than Adidas. Well, Adidas is cooler than Nike. Look at these uniforms and all that stuff. So the Business Journal in Portland obtained a copy of the contract this week between the U of A and Nike, and as part of their annual request for the apparel deals of major college athletic programs. Nike will provide U of A $1 million in equipment, or did provide them, $1 million in equipment and apparel last year. the lowest of the 10 Pac-12 public universities in the conference. $1 million worth of swag. So, Eric, you and I were given the tour by Greg Byrne. Remember that when we walked through?
I do.
And all those boxes of Nike stuff.
$1 million is a lot of stuff.
They were just stacked.
A lot of stuff.
So Eric and I are down there, and Greg Byrne's given us this nice tour, and we had lunch, and we go through their weight room and meet all these. This was like I don't know, 14, 15 months ago. And so so we're standing there, and Eric asks, so what are all these boxes? And the equipment guy, so this is all the Nike gear that comes in. And it's a warehouse. Like $1 million worth of swag is a warehouse, but it's the smallest amount of deal. Unlike most, the deal does not provide cash payments to the university. So payments from Nike often go to head coaches of football and basketball teams. So like Under Armour has a deal with Steve Spurrier, right? So the boxes show up from Under Armour at South Carolina for Steve Spurrier. And in those boxes somewhere is an envelope for $750,000. I'm being facetious about where it shows up, but Steve Spurrier gets $750,000 from Under Armour just to have that deal done. So when you talk about keeping coaches and you talk about what is there outside of just winning and losing football games, the Nike deal, the Adidas deal, those things are gigantic. They are enormous. But in this case, from the way that this deal reads, no cash payment to the university. So Sean, Rich Rod, now maybe that's part of the annuity that's sitting over there to the side. U of A fans have, whenever we talk about will those guys leave, U of A fans always go back to the annuity that's out there. If you've been following our show at all, we've made a big deal out of that, that it's going to be very tough for Greg Byrne, Rich Rod, or Sean Miller to leave U of A with this enormous carrot that's dangling in front of them financially. I still think they're going to leave. You know, in my opinion, if LSU has a bad season this year, Rich Rod's going to be number one, not even 1A. He will be number one if he has success this year, and I think he's going to.
I wonder, Brad, if recruits care about if it's Adidas or Nike or
Under Armour. They do.
I know they care about uniforms and jerseys and the swag and the look, but do you think some guys are like, yeah, I'd rather wear Adidas, or no, I'd rather go to a Nike school? Good question. I would guess you're right. They probably do.
So yesterday, okay, on that vein, so you're going up to Las Vegas. You're going to the Bishop Gorman Chandler game tomorrow.
Yep, should be one of the better college games I'm going to see also. Oh, wait, no, it's a high school game. Sorry, it's just loaded with future college players.
Number 3 in the nation against number 4 in the nation. So Chandler High called me this week, and they said, could you swing by and just work with our athletes a little bit on the media expectations of what it's going to be like out there? And I've done this before. I've done it one-on-one with guys. I don't charge them. It's not like I have this side business here. But Brett Hundley needed some help. I worked with him. I worked with other guys, too. I'm not going to say your name drop. But when I see a kid that really struggles with how to work with the media and I feel like they're a high-end kid, I think they deserve a little bit of attention rather than just being run through the cycle. But I'm sitting with the guys yesterday. And there's 9 players, or 8 players, rather, and their head coach. And I'm working with them on just some of the media expectations, how to comport yourself. Pretty basic stuff. Let's get rid of the uhs and you knows and all that. But I hold up the phone and I say, this is a Lamborghini. This is where everything is. It's not on the radio. This is not 20 years ago. This is not just on television. It's right here. This is where everything is. And if you don't know how to drive a Lamborghini, you're going to crash and burn. So we go on the whole thing about Twitter, but I'm looking around at these kids, and they all have a certain brand on them, Eric, to your point. They all either have a Nike shirt or an Adidas shirt or whatever, and I don't know if there's an apparel deal over there at Chandler. I don't know. But I do think it makes a difference to some of these kids of what they have. Daryl Dawkins is on my mind today. Chocolate Thunder, one of the best nicknames ever in sports. There was a time in the NBA back in the 80s, they were coming out of being the drug league, and Magic and Bird were just starting to come in. This will sound like old guy get off my yard, but I think this resonates even with 40-year-olds. Daryl Dawkins was not the best basketball player in the world, but he was an absolute true character. He was from the planet Lovetron. I can't make this stuff up. That was Daryl Dawkins. Daryl Dawkins pulled down rims because he was such a huge man, such a physically imposing man. Couldn't shoot free throws to save his life. But if you remember the Lakers and you remember Magic's early years, and you were into the NBA like I was, and it was Dr. J and it was Lloyd Free, or World Be Free as he went by later on, and it was George McGinnis, and it was, you know, it was Doug Collins, and it was Mo Cheeks. Daryl Dawkins was like a role player, but he was one of the, he's like a big teddy bear. I remember having him on a show years ago, and he was great. He was absolutely great, but he passed away yesterday of a heart attack, and that caught my eye. It's unfortunate, but, you know, late 50s and drops, but was a true entertainer. The Eric was out at the Saguaro Centennial game last night, too. Do we have any video of that? Did you put any video on the show today on that? Because you shot a bunch of it.
I did not.
You didn't? That's
no,
fine.
No, sorry.
It's fine. No, don't apologize.
I was there, though. Trust me, I was.
So how many scouts were there last night?
Scouts? Zero.
That you could see?
No, there were no pro scouts.
No. I mean, college people,
not
coaches.
A couple local coaches, but yeah. I didn't notice a bunch of, I didn't see,
you didn't
a
see
bunch
the logos.
No,
all
I didn't
around.
See a bunch of logo yeah. shirts from the Pac-12.
And it may not be
Big
an active
10.
Period right now. I don't sit here and look at active periods every day, but I'm just, how many Division I players were on that field last night? 20?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Just a really well-played game. Like, we go watch a lot of high school football, and to be honest with you, yep. Brad, there's a difference between elite high school Arizona football and Arizona high school football.
Sure, sure.
And last night was the elite high school level.
Well, it's like when Cal Poly rolls in here in a couple of weeks to play ASU. I mean, come on. I think we know what's going to happen on that.
Just like New Mexico.
Well, in New Mexico in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be the same. Going to be the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can stub your toe and. And look, when NAU and Jerome go play U of A, it's great that NAU is playing U of A. I'm not going to be the guy that rains on the parade of NAU playing ASU and U of A. I know that there are some that don't like that. And I think you could even make the argument in this day and age of trying to get in the CFP that maybe those types of games should go away. But as long as they're still being played, I'm a fan of that. I'll go to pro games and see games that you just look at on paper and this shouldn't be a matchup, and it ends up being a matchup during the course of a long NFL season. I'll go to college games, and you can pretty much tell, but when you have that big-time matchup, it's an adventure. On the high school front, yeah, I mean, a lot of nights I'll walk into a stadium, and it's 56-0. You just want to get out of there. So it's very unfortunate that there are the haves in this state. There's like, I don't know, 15, 20 schools that you really should go to, and the rest of them, football is just kind of sort of something there to do, and you hope the kids don't get hurt.
Like last week, Chandler Pinnacle. Pinnacle is a good football school. They usually have a good team. This year, they're just very young, and it was 21-0 by the end of the first quarter.
It's funny. I'll talk to guys. I know we need to take a break. I'll talk to guys that'll say, I'm a big football fan. I was sitting with a guy this week, a CEO of a company here in the Valley, and I said, when was the last time you were at a high school game? He said, man, I want to go. I just never go, and I got these tickets to go to ASU, and I got these tickets to go to the Cardinals, and I'm just footballed out. So I'm going to take him to a high school game, and typically what happens is I do it, and these guys, doesn't matter what their business is, these guys are like, wow, this is so cool. Yeah, it is. Let yourself go a little bit. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Brock Huard is next.
We're on your mobile phone and tablet at Sports360AZ.com.
Brock here joins us now, ESPN college football analyst, good friend of the show. His thoughts on the Pac-12 South, ASU, U of A. What region of the country are you doing games this year for the mothership?
Yeah, I'm going to be all over this year, probably more than I've ever been. And we're going to come full circle. My guy last year, Joe Tessitore, got moved to Thursday nights because of Reese Davis moving over to game day. So dominoes kind of fall. And with Joe last year, we were pretty tied in the SEC, Brad, because of his commitment to the SEC nation. And this year, I come full circle and actually get to work with the guy I worked with my very first year at ESPN. That's Bob Wischusen, who I think is probably one of the brightest football play-by-play guys there is in the business, is the New York Jets play-by-play guy on Sundays, kind of like Dave Pasch is with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
Two guys, and having worked with both of those men, there's just a football acumen they both have from the pro game and the college game. And with his schedule, we will be all over. So we have Penn State week one. I'm going to be out on the West Coast, I believe, at least two or three times. So I hope to get down in the desert and see you guys and see an Arizona State team that I have picked in some places to win the Pac-12 South. I think they've got that kind of opportunity.
Okay, so reading between the lines, you made Joe Tessitore look really good. So
right.
So he moves on, and you, and he gives you the signing bonus. I referred
exactly
to you.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I referred to you
exactly
3 years right. ago as the riser. So
right.
you're still rising, which is good. There's a picture that we have of you. Do we have this picture? Eric had this picture of you. I don't know if you saw his Twitter tease of you coming on the show.
I just did. Yeah. I just saw that Twitter picture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How old is this picture of you, by the way?
That's only 2 years old. And I told the folks that we had our seminar last week and some good stuff came out of that. So maybe we can chat at some point in this interview about college football in the state and the rules and all sorts of, you would love it. Being the college football guy that
yeah,
you are,
yeah.
you would so enjoy our 2-day seminar, and it flies by. But every year they put up like when you got your picture taken last. So that was only 2 years ago. So I was okay. I didn't have to get all dolled up and take a new picture this year.
Yeah, I mean, you look like you're in a barbershop quartet. So, I mean, it's fine.
Thank you.
It's fine.
Am I the bass?
Yeah, right. It's please date my daughter.
Right.
It's please date my daughter. Right. I mean, you look 20. I don't know. It's one of those Photoshop things.
Well, I'm young and I'm sprung, and let's go. Okay, college football is upon us tomorrow. Brent Musburger's calling the Grizz game. Let's go. Let's get on with
Brock Heard with us. Todd Graham wears a wrist bracelet that says NC16 on it, National Champion 2016. Is he a little over the top when you deal with him versus Rich Rod down here?
Yes. Yeah, he's got a background that carries and follows him because of his past. I don't think he shies away from that. I think Todd is one of the good salesmen. You know, I was at a function a couple weeks ago on a Friday night down in L.A., right at the conclusion of their Pac-12 media days, and all the coaches were in there, and there was, I don't know, about 60, 70 of us, maybe 80 of us, and of different media personnel, the coaches, some SIDs, some ADs, some heavy hitters in TV, and had a real nice dinner. And at one point, I just stepped back and I kind of went over to the window and I just looked at this group of 12 coaches in the Pac-12 in particular. And I thought, as much as they are college football coaches, which they are,
yep,
these guys are salesmen.
Yep.
I feel like I'm at a sales convention, and each of them brings their own shtick to that sales force, right? Just like every salesman, you can give some basic criteria of, hey, man, this is best practice. This has worked best through the years. Here's how to win friends and influence people from 100 years ago. And you can give people all of that background, and there have been a gazillion books written on sales. And I looked at those 12, and what a unique cast of characters. And I would put Todd Graham at the top of the real sales. When you're around him, when you come in and do a game, he is going to sell and sell his program and sell his resume and sell his track record as hard as any coach in college football.
Okay, what kind of salesman is Mike Leach then?
Mike Leach is the one that put his finger in his drink and was mixing it around, and that's not an exaggeration. He was the only one wearing a polo
sure.
in a place that was business attire, and he was looked at me straight in the face and said, and I don't think he knew who I was. I met him half a dozen times, or at least it was played off that way, and said, you know what? Have you seen the TV show Vikings? And I was like, no. He's like, you should be on that show. And I'm like, thank you very much. So, and then he talked about his Finland football roots and Scandinavia. Yeah, that is Mike Leach is that guy at the sales party. Chris Peterson is the most buttoned up. Rich Rod is by far the loudest.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Graham is by far the most talkative. Jim Mora is the most feisty. Sark speaks for himself. Mike McIntyre and Kyle Whittingham are definitely very quiet. Helfrich's got a little more game than you think. Shaw is the student studying everybody else, and Sonny Dykes is the easygoing Southerner. So you have got quite a cast of 12 assembled in that room. Not that I haven't thought about it or written a book about it.
Wow. So if you're like having dinner with Eric and I, you're just going to start throwing out titles. It's fine. That's the way it works.
Yeah, is that cool?
But you know it.
You talk to all these guys.
Yep,
you've been to media days. You know it. The college coaching job. The NFL, if you want to be in X's and O's and a genius, go to the NFL and work there and just sit in a dark room and put your plan together. If you want to mix salesmanship, and that matters, and marketing and branding, go to the college game. And that's where you find a whole cast, like I said, of different characters.
Okay, who's the team no one's talking about that they should be talking about for the CFP?
For the college football playoff within the Pac-12 conference?
Just nationally. If you've got a team nationally or within the Pac-12, either way, CFP.
Yeah, I think legitimately Arizona State, I said to you a few minutes ago, has a chance to win the Pac-12 South this year. They've won 10 games every year. I don't necessarily trust them. I don't trust Sark. I don't necessarily trust Jim. I think it is so unbelievably wide open in the Pac-12 South because of that. You know, we posed that question at our seminar. We had different folks up there with their odds and you know, what the boys in the desert are thinking, the desert north of you. A couple teams, Arizona actually came to mind because of their odds. I think that that is a huge and enormous stretch that they're going to get into a playoff, but I think that they're going to overachieve. Clemson is probably a team that's not in the top five, and they look at all the defensive losses. There's not a quarterback privately more talked about amongst my peers than Deshaun Watson as far as the impact that he can make. People are so enamored to see if he's back from his injury, and if so, think that he's got a Heisman opportunity with their offensive supporting cast there at Clemson. So they're a team that maybe is off the books a little bit. But I don't know if I see a TCU that was 4-8 a year ago and you could look at it and say, boy, they've got a lot of good players. They're going to turn it around unbelievably and come out of nowhere. I don't know if I necessarily see that. Keep an eye on Boise. They could spank Washington week one. They start at number 23. They are definitely the team out of the non-Power Five that I would keep a close eye on. So there's a few, but there's a lot of heavyweights that I think are going to be difficult to knock out when it's done and done.
Brock Heard with us for a couple of minutes. Coach under the most scrutiny for his job. It's got to be Sark now, right?
He just ratcheted way up, didn't he?
I mean, come on.
Immensely. Mike Leach is tied to Bill Moose. I don't think he's going anywhere, but this is a year that they should get to a bowl game. The water's going to get a little hot for Chris Peterson because it's going to be a tough year. He's not going anywhere, and they've got to stick together. But there's probably going to be a little criticism. If Mark Helfrich was criticized a year ago because, you know, it's all about winning national championships, he got there. That cooled some of the waters, but expectations remain really, really high down in Eugene. I'm curious about the boys in the SEC. You got some guys that are getting older, and Les Miles and Steve Spurrier, and I, you know, I will be very curious where, you know, their fan bases are so on fire and so, you know, want to see them take the next steps that, you know, there's going to be enough coaches that when we chat in week six or seven that haven't accomplished and haven't lived up to expectations, and because of this offseason with Sark, he's going to be on under the microscope more in this conference than any other coach.
Okay, my fearless prediction, I've already called it and I've written about it, is Les Miles doesn't last at LSU and they come after Rich Rod really hard, really, really hard, because you go back on his roots. And his son is going to be a top quarterback down here. His son's already getting some notice. I don't know if he's going to be top of the top, but I think as long as his son is in high school, he's got another year to go. But it would not surprise me to see that move take place. That's just me.
That wouldn't be shocking. So where can I read that?
On the site, of course. And I put it on Twitter,
nice.
And I put it out there.
Oh, look at you. Very good.
Yeah, that's my thing. Someday I'll be in a booth next to you. Russell Wilson.
Thank you.
Yeah, Russell Wilson and recovery water. Where do I get this? Where do I get this water that should have been in Indiana Jones? He chose from the wrong cup. He chose poorly.
Well, let's just talk. You know, let's just talk football. I spent 6 months talking about a lot of this stuff. I'm tired of. I'm ready for Russell to just start playing some doggone football. I'll tell you what, though, Brad. What that tells me in what really the last 6 months with this contract negotiation with Sierra, with all these headlines, with the recovery water is. He does not shy away from exposure. Unlike an Andrew Luck or some of his peers that would rather just kind of play ball and, you know, remain in the shadows, that's not Russell. He is going to put himself out there. He does not mind celebrity. He does not mind exposure. His head coach doesn't mind it either, and you've got a team full. Yeah. Of guys and never shirk that end of the profession, and the more of it that's come out, the more of it. Like I said, I'm just ready for him to get back to business, playing on the field.
I am so ready to get back to business down here because I think the pro team here, if Carson stays upright for more than 10 games, they make the playoffs. If Carson doesn't stay upright for more than 10 games, it's not a shot. I've not seen a team that's had so much reliance on one dude. And that's not good because they've got four guys in their preseason game, this fake football game on Sunday night, that are going to play on the offensive line. They got a lot of issues on the offensive line, but it's not the good ship Arizona Cardinals. A lot of people are trying to paint this thing as the greatest thing ever. It's not. If Carson goes down, they're done, finished. See ya. So,
and you saw that last year, and they've got challenges up front. They don't run the ball particularly well.
Nope.
And they're in this division, obviously, with Seattle, with St. Louis's front seven. That's some of the nervousness up here. And you can watch the Seahawks Saturday night on CBS, and Sims will be on the call, and we chatted this week, and I said, yeah, I mean, that's if there's a nervous Nelly in town, it's surrounding that offensive line, where you move your right tackle to left guard, you're going to have a first-year starter right tackle, you may have a converted defensive lineman playing center, and the difference is you've got a run game in Marshawn and Russell to take at least some of that burden off. In Arizona, you don't have that component. If it's not clean, Carson's not going to be able to create an escape and get out of it like a Russell can. And their run game, obviously, is, if you're trading for Chris Johnson halfway through training camp, kind of speaks for itself.
Yep, no question about it. Stay well. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Look forward to doing it again, bro.
You got it. There's Brock Heard with us, ESPN college football analyst on board, stuff inside and out on the college and pro front. On the other side, I'm going to get further into this Todd Graham, Rich Rod, Grantland story, where Todd openly admits last year's 10-win season was miserable because his expectations were much higher. And some things about Todd Graham I didn't know, and more on Rich Rod, too, that's in this piece. And then Goody at the Movies, Friday, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. All right, so this story of Grantland, college sweethearts is the headline. Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez bring the golden age of college football to the state of Arizona. Grantland does a great job. Grantland is, there are certain places, guys, you need to go to find content. Of course, if you're watching me, you're on sports360az.com, or maybe you haven't checked it out. If you're watching us on AZ Central, you can check our site out. We're very local. On a national view, a lot of the stuff that I see is just repeated. It's just, you can go to 50 different websites that are going to tell you the Diamondbacks score last night and have something on it. And it all just kind of runs together and is a blur. There's nothing different. There's nothing unique. You can have 10 different sites tell you what the Cardinals did for their backup right tackle, and they're all just fighting for the same eyeballs. There's nothing unique about that. Grantland, though, Michael Weinreb did a piece in talking to both Rich Rod and Todd Graham that came out last night. Did you read this, by the way, Eric? Have you seen this yet? I put it on Twitter last night.
I did not see it.
Here's some things I'm reading from it. Here's some of the things Arizona State coach Todd Graham tells me during the roughly 30 minutes we spend talking in his office. He is dyslexic. He has a photographic memory. He's a native Texan, which would not have been difficult to discern if I hadn't known it already, since he speaks with a twang straight out of the George W. Bush School of Pathos. He fathered a child when he was 17 years old. He struggled to score well on the ACT coming out of high school. He's made some high-profile mistakes, most notably in taking the head coaching job at Pittsburgh, which he left after one season for ASU, infamously notifying his players of his decision by text. Just as he's made numerous others less visible errors in judgment over the course of his 50 years on this planet, and he's not afraid to discuss these mistakes with his ASU players, many of whom have been forced to confront their own errors in judgment, and with his assistant coaches, and even with journalists who have been openly and harshly critical of his mistakes. And that's just the way it starts. Then I go down here to the side on Rich Rod. While Graham has opened his program wide to the media, Rodriguez does much of his speaking to a national audience through quirky viral videos. There's an underlying beauty to Rich Rod's awkwardness, to the way he nay-nays his way through his public appearances, embracing the absurdity of his position as a way of tempering an on-field intensity that can veer into intimidating territory. He's become the Will Forte of college football coaches, given to ridiculous displays and meandering storytelling. At Pac-12 Media Days this season, he quoted Dumb and Dumber in Lion King, recounted a story of two elderly ladies flipping the bird while he was coaching at Michigan, and shared a memory of Washington State coach Mike Leach donning a Speedo and wading into a body of water, an account Leach later rebutted. Rodriguez said, quote, "The atmosphere that we have in the program has taken hold and gotten better every year. I don't see myself having to lecture or tell guys as much as how we practice, how we work out, how we approach things on and off the field. I think they get that." So as I'm reading through this, and I'll retweet it again, you'd think you know coaches, right? And you think that you've got this rivalry all figured out. This rivalry has become on par with anything else nationally.
Finally.
Finally. Because the teams were awful for years.
You were beating the drum about that when we started this little project of ours 4 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, there's not a rivalry when you just have two schools that are Bush League in the way that they're handling their business. And they were both Bush League. Read my lips. Both schools were Bush League. The way everything went down with Vontaze and Dennis Erickson and hiring a coach and an AD that was clueless, to U of A having a facility that was archaic and I'm being kind and nice, to scheduling that was just abysmal scheduling, to now where both programs are highly regarded, highly respected. I think Arizona State's program is a little bit in front of Arizona's this year coming into the season. Again, I don't have a dog in the fight. I'll sit and talk to U of A people as easily as ASU people. But Rich had a line here that I don't know if they're ever going to be able to overcome. And they're talking about this being the golden age of football here in our state because of the way the two programs are. Rich Rod talked in this story about where Tucson's located. And I don't know if they're ever going to be able to overcome that. I've sat with Greg Byrne. I've sat with Rich. I've talked to assistant coaches. Here's the line that really jumps out at me about this. Quote, "We get frustrated sometimes when some of the top players in the state look to go outside and don't give us a visit," Rodriguez said. "I think that's the biggest challenge for us. We've just got to get them to come to campus. I've said this many times. If we get them to campus, our rate of getting them is over 60%. It's just convincing them, hey, take a side trip, go to Vegas, and take a right." It's a good line.
It's the same thing that Jack Murphy told us, NAU's basketball coach. When he gets some of the recruits don't even know where Flagstaff is. They couldn't look at a map and be like, that's where Flagstaff, Arizona is.
Yeah.
But when you get them on campus and they see how beautiful it is, like, yeah, this would be a bad place to go to school.
No longer does Rich Rod have to pretend he's someone he's not. He can embrace the quirks that have got him here in the first place, and given his invention of zone read offense, it helped revolutionize football as we know it. He's working from an underdog's position even in his own state, while Graham can sell recruits on the burgeoning Phoenix area and one of the largest and most party-friendly student bodies in the country. Rodriguez has to inform them where Tucson is actually located. And I've heard that some of the recruiting in Tucson goes like this. It's a great place to go to school for 4 years and you'll never come back. And as we go into the start of this season, again, and this drove some of you crazy last year, and it drives some people crazy when I'm out speaking on this. I want U of A and ASU to both do really, really well. I want both of them to be ranked in the top 10. I want both of them to meet one another someday when one is number one and the other is number two. Okay? That's what I want. I don't want them to be irrelevant because this state for far too long was irrelevant with a capital when they were playing these so-called rivalry games. Now it's getting really good. I mean, we're starting next Thursday, and I said this, if you haven't heard it, I think U of A is in a lot of trouble this year. They do not have a week off. I think eventually there's going to be that 1 week or 2 weeks in the season where they're going to need a gasp of air, and they don't have it. It's completely unfair to them that it's been scheduled that way. I think in Arizona State's case, if you beat Texas A&M, and on paper, I think that game next week, and Eric's going down to Houston for it, I think that game next week, ASU should win. If they win that game, they'll be ranked, I don't know, 11, 10. If they don't win that game, they'll be ranked 22, 25. If they win the game, they have who cares games against Cal Poly, New Mexico, but still they'll move up to 7, 8. They lose the game and they have the Cal Poly games. No one in town is going to care. Those games are just games to get out of the way before you have the USC and UCLA games. So in the next 3 weeks, man, it's going to be interesting. And U of A, their opening schedule, UTSA and Nevada the first 2 weeks, those are yawners. They're not going to be on anybody's radar really until we get to the end of September.
And circling back on what you said regarding the rivalry, remember how much fun it was last Thanksgiving when it was ASU, U of A,
oh.
The winner wins the South and has a chance to play Oregon, and has a chance to gasp, maybe go to a big time bowl game.
And people were, I mean, people were bitter towards each other in a good sort of way.
U of A made a big time bowl game. They went to the Fiesta Bowl, but
I know what you're saying, but the way that U of A beat ASU last year, now I have some of these ASU nitwits that are saying, well, Todd better beat U of A this year. It's like, come on. Are you hearing yourself? He's won over 20 games last few years. Come on.
That's stupid.
Go away. But there are those people out there. All right. Goody's next. Goody at the Movies. He talked to Matt Damon this week. I want to know about The Newborn. He's got a couple of movies he wants to talk about. That's next. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody Koontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Bill comes in with some of the best movies, and he joins us for a couple of minutes. How are you, Bill?
I'm good. I'm sorry. I was tardy today because I was running around trying to get out of meetings.
Oh, you know, just say I've got to go do this really, really big deal, and I got to talk about talking to Matt Damon and all that stuff. Are you going to get fired for coming on, or?
No, but I just walked out of the editorial board offices because I said I had a very important radio interview.
Wow. So you just blew off the editorial board. We do have openings over here, so it's fine.
It's fine. Okay.
What are they doing at the editorial board today? Can you share what they're editorializing over?
Well, I don't know because I left.
Oh, you just got up and left.
Yeah. All right.
Should I keep this short?
No. We're good.
Where's Bill? He blew us off. Get him out of here. All right, so Matt Damon, let's start there before we get into No Escape and Look of Silence. But let's start with Matt Damon. So you spoke with him this week. What was that all about?
He's for the movie The Martian, and he is a great, great guy. All these things that you hear about him really are true. I talked to him, and the funny thing about this conversation was, going back to our last conversation, which was a few years ago, he didn't have a publicist training. He just called me up. And I always try to give people warning. If my kids are around, I'm going to do these interviews. And I'll say something like, you know, you may hear the screams of a five-year-old girl or something. Don't worry about it. And you can usually tell by how they react to that, how good they'll be. Like, of all people, Keanu Reeves is like, outstanding. It was funny. but with Matt Damon, he's like, oh, man, I got four kids, too. Don't worry about it. I know exactly what you said. What's she upset about? What do you think she'd be mad about? And I was stumped. I didn't know what to say. And the only thing that all of a sudden coming out of my mouth, I said, I think that we're out of cookies in the cookie jar. We don't even have a cookie jar. it's just total lie. And to make matters worse, the interview was great, really thoughtful, really smart, and he kept referring to this cookie jar. And I said, you know, why don't you and Ben Affleck write movies anymore together? You want an Oscar for the first one you wrote? And he said, well, you know, it all goes back to that cookie jar. You got to provide for your family. And I was just like, oh my God. So like, I only had a limited amount of time with him this last time, but I told him, I had to say, you know, this is what happened. I said, hopefully this one will be based on a little more honesty. He's like, God, I hope so. and at the end, that same daughter was there, like, listening to this interview. And I said, oh, she's going to say goodbye. And she said, oh, goodbye, Mr. Damon. And he says, keep your hands out of the cookie jar. but he's clever that way. But he's... Yeah, in addition to being a really good actor, and Martian is kind of a cool movie, he reminded me somewhat of Jake Gyllenhaal, that he'll do anything. And I'm sure you've had interviews like that. Particularly when you're doing TV, you really appreciate when they're willing to do more than the regular thing.
Yep.
You know, if you have an idea and they're willing to go with you on it.
So he's going to do another Bourne, right?
He is. And he said he's very excited about it. He hadn't done one in 9 years, but he's on the way back.
And when will that come out?
I would guess 2017. But
I can't wait. No, I can't wait that long. That's unacceptable.
Well, we talked about that, about how, you know, when he first did it, it's like Matt Damon's not an action star, but it sort of became like the gold standard of smart action movies.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
Last weekend, I think it was FX. It was doing Bourne stuff, and I just had to blow off my family. You know, it was over.
That's
I'm not going anywhere. And
that's
I've seen them all over.
I did that every night of the week.
Right. It's boring. What are you talking about? I have a parent-teacher conference. Come on. What's the priorities here?
You'll have other swim meets. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, so let me get you over to No Escape. I don't want to run through all of our time. No Escape, what's this all about?
Well, it's Owen Wilson, who's usually funny, being not so funny, and Lake Bell, who's also very funny, as his wife. They're these people who they go to work for some multinational corporation in some unnamed Asian country, which is clearly Thailand, and they got in some kind of trouble, so they couldn't name it. But they're there, and they're supposedly cleaning the water, but it's this big colonialist capitalist thing, and there's like a revolt. And it's one of those movies where tens of thousands of Asian people are slaughtered so that we might be able to save these four white people.
Mm.
It's one of those White Lives Matters movies. And it's not bad, but it's kind of hard to get around the fact that we don't learn anything about anybody except these people who have just kind of dropped in on this country at a really bad time. That said, the action is terrific. And Owen Wilson, I like Owen Wilson. I have people coming on him. But I think he's funny, and he's clearly here. He can do drama really well. Although he's an engineer in this movie. But he is, as is the case in many of these movies, he is one of those engineers who evidently has, super secret spy training and, can fight and shoot guns really well and stuff like that.
So he's remaking himself a little bit. I'm watching the trailer, and it's nothing like Owen Wilson. So this is the agent saying, let's get you into some different roles, I would think.
Yeah, and I think they like that. You'll try the different things. I mean, look at what happened with Liam Neeson. I mean, he's getting older, and all of a sudden he does this Taken movie, and that's what he does now.
Yeah.
He's an action star. You'd think it would work the other way, that you'd have to kind of age out of these action movies. But it seems like it's working the other way around.
Look of Silence. Tell me about that.
Best movie out there this week. A couple years ago, there was a movie called The Act of Killing where they recreated these murders in the 1960s in Indonesia where they called everybody communist and killed them, like literally more than a million people all in one year. And the people were still in power who did it, and they had them reenact their crimes, but they did it in the form of genre Hollywood movies. It was one of the weirdest, hardest things to watch, but it was really good. This is not exactly a sequel, but kind of a companion where the same filmmaker goes around with an ophthalmologist who goes to treat various people who killed his brother, his older brother. And it's stunning. I mean, and he'll be talking to him and he'll say, you killed my brother. And immediately they go from bragging about all the people they killed, which is pretty weird, and drinking their blood, by the way.
Oh, great.
And nice. But then they go from that to, well, I was just following orders, or well, I personally didn't kill him, and it's just it's bizarre, but it's one of those things. It's not that great to watch, but everybody probably ought to watch it.
Yeah, it's got subtitles. I'm seeing the trailer right now, so you got to sit through that, which is fine. I can do movies with subtitles. This is at Camel View, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for the time, and I'll talk to you next week. Go back to your meeting now.
I miss it, man. This is great.
All right. Talk to you later. There's Bill Gittykoons. Go to eat the movies. All right. So we have a big weekend ahead. Cardinals preseason game is on Sunday night at 5 against the Raiders. Eric's going to Vegas to see Chandler and Bishop Gorman, number 3 in the nation against number 4 in the nation. Just one last weekend before all the college football gets underway. Tonight we have not one but two games on the stream of high school from the Chandler School District. The kids do the play-by-play. Kids do all the engineering. They do all the camera work. It's Star Search. It's Perry and Mesquite tonight, two coaches that are related. And then it is Bash and Sinagua tonight. So, and if you're an ASU football fan or U of A football fan, Bash's quarterback Ryan Kelly, considered the best in the state. So you can watch him a little bit and see what that's all about. Both those games are on our student channels over on CUSD. It's part of Sports 360.
Bash is playing Sinagua?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sienega.
Okay, Sienega.
Sienega.
Yeah, Sinagua is a little tiny school up in Flagstaff.
Sienega, my bad.
Sienega is down Tucson, I believe.
Thank you for correcting.
No problem.
Have a good weekend. Be safe. I'm Brad Sussmat. Check out our website. Plenty of content. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports.